City, Colorado Springs, Colorado. This is the USA Volleyball Show, and here are your hosts, Clarence Hughes and Stephen Munson.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the USA Volleyball Show. It felt weird not doing the long hello, but, you know, got to mix it up. Got to remember, too, we are the official podcast of USA Volleyball. Hope you guys are all doing well. It's been a minute, like every other Wednesday, kind of minute, haha, go figure. But I'd like to welcome back USA Volleyball's digital media and content coordinator, Severin Lavenstein. How are you doing today, Severin?
What's going on, Clarence? Good to hang out with you today.
What's new?
Dude, not a lot other than a pretty big one in Beach Media Day. It was a crazy but fun time last week. We had everybody out in California to do Media Day for the beach athletes. It was so cool kind of getting everybody in there on sort of a 2-day sort of stretch there where we did a whole bunch of stuff, hotel inside shooting. We had different stations going on there, made it all look really nice and pro. I'm so excited to see all those assets. Not to spoil anything, but, you know, we had some light sticks. We had some fog going. It was so cool. And, you know, the photos always look so great. So another year of those in anticipation of obviously all the great stuff we have in 2024. And that was big. And then second day of that being out on the beach as well, where it was actually really cold. And I know for you guys in Colorado, that's like, oh, cold. What are you talking about? But no, the wind cold. Chill.
You're at that West Coast wind chill is crazy. You know, the water is really cold over there. So I understand that.
I was bundled up. I had the hood on, everything. So, you know, full sweatpants, the work. So even in February, it was cold. But it was really awesome with Beach Media Day. That was kind of the biggest thing going on over here. But what about you?
I was really quick. I was going to ask you for the play by play, but I love, you know, you already,
I'll give you more play by play.
What was your favorite part of it? Actually, was this, was this your first specific media day on the beach side?
Yeah, this is my first, media day on the beach side. I think my favorite part was, getting to listen into the interviews a little bit. I think that those interviews where we get to kind of ask them a lot of in-depth questions, and it can be anything from like as serious as, you know, what do you love most about volleyball, and getting into really in-depth answers like that. But I think also when you can do the fun questions like the newlywed game, like, you know, who's the messiest, who's waking up early, you know, what's the one word to describe your partner, like that to me is always like the most fun part. But yeah, I'm gonna go with that, like getting to sit in on the interview. And you know, you get, obviously as part of the setup crew, you get a little bit of the how the sausage is made kind of thing when you're setting up like all the background elements, which I won't take the shine off of that, because I think, you know, that's obviously like sometimes less glamorous and like all the setup that goes into it. But honestly, I was super proud of our team for getting all of that up and ready to go, you know, a couple early mornings, but everybody got it done.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's good to hear. I mean, I'm glad to hear that was your favorite part of it too. I mean, we're no stranger to, you know, loving some in-depth interviews and, you know, how the sausage is made kind of things there too. But I mean, it sounds like it was really amazing. So I can't wait to see what comes out of that, you know. So, you know, shout out to the entire Marcom creative department and, you know, all the heavy lifting it took with that. And I'm sure the athletes appreciate it all too.
Yeah, definitely. I hope so. I think we got some really great content too. And another thing, just really quickly to add on to that, just put out a really great video. We had among some of the teams that were hanging out with us for the week were Taryn Cloth and Kristen Nuss, one of the top women's beach teams. Well, they were in California taking a little bit of a break from usually being in Louisiana. And it was so great to work with them over the last couple of weeks. And we just put out a video on the USAV Beach socials. So make sure to go give that a look as well. It was a lot of fun putting that together and working with them. But yeah, no, Clarence, you gotta tell us about what you've been up to now recently.
But how do I follow that up? Well, let's see what I've been up to. I think this past weekend we were just we just wrapped up a Salt Lake City 18s showdown. You know, one of the few 18s qualifiers that we specifically around on our side of things in the national office. And I think it was a big success. We had a lot of great food vendors. Shout out to those food vendors, because sometimes you go to convention centers and, you know, you don't have the best options there. But I mean, you know, food aside, experience aside, there, we had a team count of a total of 113. 14 teams, which is 15 more than we had last year. So keep breaking records and surpassing numbers, which is very good. A lot of competitive athletes there, a lot of competitive clubs and teams. And we got to give away some bids, and can't wait for 18's national. Nationals coming at the end of April in Baltimore. So I'll get to see those teams that qualified this past weekend over on the bigger stage, and nationals there too. So it'll be a little full circle moment for us as well too. I do want to give a big shout out to Josie Russell. It was her first time running a, you know, event to this scale. You know, we did a lot of logistical planning start to finish, and you know, a lot of follow-up meetings between her and I, and she did an amazing job from start to finish, and even in a logistical period there too. So just keep up the good work, Josie, and I can't wait to give you more assignments that way to let into my own load too. But I mean, yeah, shout out to her. She did an amazing job. So yeah, that kind of sums up what we've been up to on our end.
Yeah, events and busy season is kicking in, and definitely love the shout out for Josie. And I do not envy all of the logistical planning you guys have to do. That is a lot for sure.
Oh yeah, it's all budget numbers and talking to convention centers and everything else in between that we need to get into. That'll be boring for you guys, but yeah,
all the fun stuff.
I know that. And then coaching aside there too, I think my boys team is officially on, actually all boys teams basically are on a, you know, final break as they go into their high school seasons too. So shout out to all the boys programs that are getting ready to start their high school seasons, and shout out to all, you know, the girls programs that are continuing, you know, their push for nationals and push for winning bids and so on and so on. So, you know, same old stuff on our end.
Awesome. All right. So before we get into the show, if you missed the last episode, shame on you. Go back and check it out. Episode 84.
Did you just shame the audience? That's hilarious.
Yeah, come on. You got to be listening. I mean, you can't just tune in and tune out, especially for this one, because it was really good. So yeah, I stand by it. Shame on you if you haven't checked it out.
I like that.
But you have a chance to redeem yourself by going back and listening to us sitting down with two-time Olympic medalist and former setter for the U.S. Women's National Team, Courtney Thompson. She was just fantastic. Shared Olympic experiences, gave some advice, talked about her new role with League One, or LOVB, however you're referring to that awesome new league coming up. And also just some great stuff in there about mindset training. That was one of my favorite things to listen to. So much more, obviously. So please go and check that out. You can check it out on all your podcast platforms, YouTube, and of course the USA Volleyball Show website, or USA Volleyball website rather, looking up the USA Volleyball Show. So definitely don't miss that episode with Courtney Thompson. And now, Clarence, it's time for my favorite segment of the show, the news with Hughes.
I don't know. I heard it was something else. I'm just kidding. All right. As a reminder, the 2024 Boys Junior National Championship registration, Girls 18 Nationals, GJNC 11 through 13s, GJNC 14 through 17s, and Opens, which is happening this year in Columbus. Registration are now open. So registrations are open across the board. I know Patriot divisions have filled like no other, but Opens registration. We've seen more teams within this short span of registration opening than we've ever had. And when I say we've ever had, then I mean I have since 2022 of taking over the event. So I love the progress being made there too. I want to see some record numbers there, okay? Make sure you guys sign up for your open team. Just had to plug that there right there. But we also just announced the Beach National Championship happening on July 12th through the 17th in Fort Lauderdale. Make sure you register now for all of these events so you don't miss your chance to become the next national champion. Pro Volleyball Federation's inaugural season is continuing to be underway. There are weekly matches streaming for free. Okay, some of our national team athletes are on those teams, like Kendall White or friend of the pod, Morgan Hence. Tune in so you don't miss any of the action right there. I've gotten a chance to see a couple of the matches there too, and they're very, very, very exciting to see. Make sure you don't miss it. We love having even more pro volleyball here in the U.S., and there's more to come next year and hopefully the year after that. Soon we'll be able to watch it all year long. Fingers crossed there. Tickets are available for the USA Volleyball Hall of Fame happening on May 22nd in Columbus, Ohio, also where Opens is taking place. Join USA Volleyball as we celebrate all-time greats such as Kathy DeBoer, I almost stuttered there, wow, Carl McGown, Dane Blanton, Robin Amo, I hope I pronounced that name correctly, and other friend of the pod, Reed Pretty. Shout out to Reed there. That was actually a good episode. Just getting the nostalgia as we talk about it there too. But tickets are available on our website. Remember to follow along the action, all the action on USA Volleyball social media. And for more on all of the latest news, you can visit usavolleyball.org. Yeah, that was a lot for news with Hughes.
You did a good job, though.
Along with a little stutter there, too. But thank you. All right. Now, enough of that. Let's get on to today's episode, today's show. We have had the treat of sitting down with the current top U.S. Beach National team on the men's side of things. Yes, the men's pair, Andy Benish and Miles Partain. We get an in-depth look into this awesome beach team. We learn about what they do and what they are doing on, you know, their off days, on their cheat days. We also learn about how Miles and Andy became a team, which is very interesting there too. I love how they break that down and also how they were introduced to the national team. They also chat about this past 2023 season, which is a very, 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 very great and progressive one on their end. Also looking ahead at some of their goals for the upcoming Olympic year, this 2024 season here. What also they chat about what it would mean to qualify for the Olympics and so much more there too. Very insightful, very informational interview from the two of them too. And we definitely appreciate them taking the time to sit down and talk to us. Those two guys are amazing. Okay. But we're so pumped to see them compete this season. Before we get into that chitter chatter, I know you're tired of hearing me. Let's go right into the interview. Here is Andy and Miles. All right, so we'll get things kicked off nice and easy. It's, you know, beginning of 2024. You guys are kind of gearing up your the start of your season for this year, which is, you know, busy, like we all know. But say you guys have a day off and, you know, a cheat day. What are you guys doing? It could be individual. It could be individually. It could be as a team. You know, what are you eating? You know, what are you doing on that cheat day?
You want to start? He's doing a special diet right now, so I think his ass might be a little lame. Let's go.
Let's go diet and then not diet.
Yeah. Today? I don't know. It's been pretty chill. So, but if it was busy, I would sleep in until like 1. But it's been chill, so I haven't been doing that. And if it was a cheat day, I wouldn't. I don't know. A lot of days have been kind of like cheat days lately. It's been pretty nice. Yeah, I just go to the gym and chill at home. If I wasn't dieting, though, definitely not really dieting. It's just like no sugar or gluten. Added sugar, I'd probably just get a bunch of churros and crepes. Yeah. Strawberry banana crepes. That'd be good.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think for me, I got a bad sweet tooth too. So I do the crepes out good. It's a good suggestion. There's good chicken tenders place near my house. It's kind of like Raising Cane's, but better. Probably go there.
What's it called?
And if I was off the sand, probably be playing video games and not going outside for most of the day. So.
All right. We got to know then what the Cane's order is. And Andy, I need to know also like what the video games are now.
Yeah. They got a little bit different menu than Raising Cane's. It's called Top Tenders in Torrance. You guys should check it out if you're ever in the area.
I've heard of that place. I went to school over in Carson too, so I'm familiar with the Torrance.
Oh, nice. Yeah, they got a couple like around this area. Dude, it's so good. They got a garlic parmesan. They'll put that on top of the tenders, and you get some ranch dipping sauce and waffle fries. And they got this really good Texas toast. I highly recommend it, but yeah, you probably won't want to be moving the next day after you eat. And then video games right now, I've been playing a lot of the new Call of Duty and then FIFA. Or not, it's not FIFA anymore, it's EAFC.
But yeah, it changed.
Yeah, it changed. I don't know why they must have lost the rights or something to the name.
How much do you guys hang out outside of volleyball? Do you get sick of each other during training and all that stuff? It's like, all right, I don't want to see you till the next training. Or you guys hang out at all? Maybe play video games together at any point?
No, we haven't played video games. No, that's not true. We played that one racing game.
And he's bad at it.
Oh yeah, I'm bad at it. I mean, we're around each other so much, especially on the road. I don't think we like
go out to dinner that much, like when we're in town together. He's also probably about 40 minutes away from me.
For a long of the year, I was, yeah, most of it.
So, but yeah, I don't think we really get sick of each other on the road. It's just, you know, he likes his family time. I gotta, I'm hanging out with my girlfriend most of the time when I'm in town too. So,
okay. Yeah. So you guys, seems like you guys.
Yeah, we're gonna go garage sailing next weekend.
Yeah, okay. You got me hooked on that.
So it seems like you guys are, you know, not match made and everything too. We spend a lot of time with each other, you know. Do you guys have similar music tastes as far as, you know, what platform you're on and what genres, or is it completely different?
I'm pretty agnostic with what I like, the sounds themselves, but I just listen to Christian music like almost exclusively.
Yeah, so not the exact same genre for me.
But like, yeah, I'm pretty I'm not too picky.
Yeah, he likes the house music sometimes. So that's a happy medium.
Gotcha.
I don't think I'm gonna be playing like hardcore rap. I don't think.
Yeah. But everything else besides Zion is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you guys tell us how you were both introduced to the game of volleyball? And Andy, on a little research, I believe I saw from a previous interview we had with you that you joined in high school to avoid running. Can you confirm that one?
Yeah. Yeah. So my California high school, you have to do physical education for 2 years. But if you're on a sports team, it gets waived. You have to do PE, at least from my high school. So I was on basketball my freshman year. I got cut. I was like pretty small and scrawny. And I was like, all right, what sport doesn't run during the off season? And I chose sailing originally, but the fees to be on the team to like dock the boat and everything, my mom's like, well, yeah, we're not doing that. So I just switched into volleyball. I had a friend in there. It's funny. My old high school coach, I'm really close with still, we have a debate about this, but I did not ask him to switch into the class. I told the counselor, he said it was fine. I was planning on switching into another off-season sport to not run to complete the PE requirement, but I ended up falling in love with volleyball and stay with it ever since. So,
how are you, Miles? When were you introduced to it?
My parents just exposed us to a lot of sports, and we played like baseball, basketball, soccer, and a little bit of swimming, water polo. Like, there's a little bit of
water polo, but,
you know, it goes to show we tried everything. And then volleyball. Meaning my brother and I, my brother did it first, and we did a lot of sports together because we were kind of close in age. And then he did it first, and I joined playing the next year. And then, yeah, we both liked it, so... It was kind of nice. We played on the same teams a lot, so our parents weren't like split too much, driving us around. So, yeah, it was mostly my mom wanted us to just try it and see if we liked it or not.
Yep. So was this strictly beach, or was it indoor as well, or a mix of
indoor,
both?
Indoor club, yeah, SoCal indoor club scene. So, yeah, I'm from the Palisades, Pacific Palisades by San Monica. So kind of north of the hub in the South Bay, and then way north-ish of Orange County and stuff. But there was still some clubs out there, so had to drive a little bit. Yeah. It was good.
When did you both start to realize you can, you know, kind of take this to the next level and, you know, make a pretty impactful career out of it?
I don't know. I think like for me personally, it was more just about like continuing to play. I really like playing. I stumbled into some opportunities that ended up going my way. And I think I got put in a fortunate position that we're in now. Yeah, I don't think there's ever like a moment when I was like, oh yeah, we made it to this level. It was always more like, oh, this is cool. We get the opportunity to play in this tournament or play this really good team. So, but yeah, it's been a fun, quick ride.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, definitely very much like what Andy said. I like playing a lot. I don't know exactly why I liked it so much, but I did growing up, or at least I wanted to get as good as I could. And now, yeah, it's kind of weird. I've thought about it a lot. Like, it's once it's one of the biggest things I've learned this year, and I'm still trying to, is just how to keep like playing, but as it's sort of a career, but like kind of playing as a career, because it's different. It's if I didn't want to, no one would really tell me anything. If I did, it wouldn't matter. But now it's like, you know, it is, depending on how well we do it, it's for everyone. It's if you just lose everything, then you'll probably switch. Before it was fine, lost, it wouldn't matter. So kind of reconciling that, but still trying to have the childlike or joy about it has been, I think, really cool. So I think anyone who tries to do something like, well, I've heard a lot of people say if you love what you do, you don't work a day in your life. And like, but once it becomes your job, which you love to do, like, how do you keep the love alive? And do you need to? It's been really interesting to think about that. So, I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at now. I still like it a lot. So, but it just has a different quality. I'm out of college and stuff. And it's not like just, I didn't not treat it just like for fun before, but I had that to kind of fall back on. Like, if I sort of don't do well, it's just for fun. Now it's like, if, and but I think there's still a way to view it properly where it's just still the same attitude, but it's, there's different like pressures. So
that's been
cool. It's cool to be able to kind of experience that at a younger ish age. So yeah.
What do you do to kind of keep that view about it? Do you kind of lean into your hobbies more? Do you try to take as much advantage of your off time as possible? Like, how are you currently trying to manage that?
I don't know. I've been trying to, I've asked people and like, I don't know. it's really helpful though. Like, the best people who are like good at things, they're good for a long time because they have a lot of devotion towards it and, you know, attention and stuff. And it's really hard to do that if you don't love it in a way. So, like the Navy SEAL mindset where you grind through difficulty, doesn't matter if you like it or not. Like, I respect people who can do that, but it seems really difficult to get good at something if you don't love it. Like, just taking that Navy SEAL mindset, which I sort of tried this year and I'm now more against because I just didn't think it worked. So there has to be some kind of flow to what you do. And you have to respect it, and you have to respect time. Like, you have to respect time all, because I'm someone who might become in the past more like obsessive about stuff. I don't know why. I never really was too much as growing up. I was able to focus on volleyball stuff as much as I wanted. It never really had a feeling of being too much, but now I see the importance of that. So I think Andy respects that more than me. He's more naturally like able to disassociate thinking about it. But for me, it's been a learning process this year, but it's been good. I think if I want to keep playing, I need to learn that. So, yeah.
To transition back to kind of your partnership together, when did you guys first meet? Was it in competition against each other? Was it even more recently than that? How did you guys first kind of get together as a pair as you currently are now?
I'm trying to think when the first time we actually met was. It was a while ago. I knew Miles when he was in high school. I started maybe playing more regularly like 2018. And I think we got into some of the same groups. Yeah, the beach community is super small. So everyone kind of knows everyone. You end up getting into a training group at some point with them. But I do remember we played one CBVA in like 2019.
Yeah. Down in Huntington. I think that was after my senior year of high school or something. Or 2020. I don't know. Maybe it was after my junior year of high school.
Yeah, I think it might have been.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've known each other a while. It's fine. I mean, I always kind of knew I wanted to play with Miles. He's like such a unique player and attacks the game so much differently than most of the other American players do, at least. But I mean, even in 2019, when we played that CBVA, you just have to wait for the timing to be right. I think if we would have tried to join at that time, like, I don't even know if we would have been like bottom of the qualifier for the AVPs or something. So sometimes you just got to be patient. But I mean, playing or, you know, just knowing who he was always in the back of my mind. Maybe someday in the future it would happen. So
yeah, that's another thing where you have to kind of respect time. Sometimes you have to wait for things to, if you try and force it too early, kind of, you can break things.
Yeah.
Not even, I'm thinking even about it with anything.
Yeah.
We could have played in like two tournaments and not qualify and been like, all right, we don't want to play tomorrow anymore. So, yeah.
I don't know. I think I would have still, I don't think we would have had, but yeah, I would have, it was better, I think, to wait.
What are some of those qualities that, you know, just go into, I want to maybe a successful, you know, volleyball partnership, and what are some of those qualities that, you know, you both have that complement each other on the court?
Successful qualities are probably that a lot of the game or playing or competing or something about what you're doing is really important and, to keep you moving. And after that, the partnership stuff is really important. Like people like doing sort of business or work or playing with people they like. So if you're a difficult partner, it's, that does not help your odds of like getting a good one for sure. People can see, you get kind of figure out who, what it means to be a good partner, and then you can kind of see it from afar. So even if you haven't played with someone, you can often tell if they would be fun or not. So the things that make people fun are just like being supportive. And if you make a mistake, and Andy's been really good with just kind of letting me make mistakes. So some people will try and kind of force you to change as if they can change you, and it just causes friction. Sometimes though, there's maybe a time too, but it's rare and it depends on the person, I think, but it's good to have kind of a hands-off approach a little bit and just let them do their thing, be really supportive, and hopefully it'd be vice versa, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I think along with that, there's a lot of stuff that ends up working like on the court, like technically and tactically, I think, where we complement each other really well. Especially like, I mean, Miles is obviously a great option and jump setting player for offense. That makes my job like a lot easier. You know, I have to worry about a lot less stuff. Takes a lot of pressure off of me. But I think sometimes those ones are a little bit more obvious on paper where you're like, all right, I play this way, he plays that way. It should mesh well. You just got to go out and practice. I think really one of the biggest keys to our success has been just like open, honest communication within our team, between us and our coach, Mike Placzek. Even if like maybe the honesty is not something the other people want to hear, it's good. Like, I think we're generally know where each other are at physically and mentally. And then we know, maybe if I'm slacking a little bit in training one day, they know I'm dealing with some kind of tweak or maybe my head's not in the right space. So I think that's been really, that was something that really helped us last year. And then also us just trying to figure out solutions to strategic problems or technical problems that I might be struggling with my swing. Like Miles might have some really good cues that I could use, which I don't think happens that often, at least on the men's side. Of beach playing, just because I don't know, people are worried that you're gonna split up and then they know all your weaknesses.
That's a nice part about like longer term things.
Yeah, it's been so we can really like share and be vulnerable in a sense, to the point where we're like exposing our weaknesses to each other, and then we can help try to have two brains attack instead of one.
Yeah, that's been cool. Like, it's yes, I think a lot of it's really not in your interest to like. If you're playing with partners tournament to like you tell them everything about what you need.
Yeah. You might play them in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. And they play with other people and maybe tell them. So it's not even. Yeah. But I do respect the people who just don't care. And they'll tell their weaknesses to everyone and
I'll try to compensate for them later.
Yeah. And ultimately, it doesn't really matter. Like, I'm not really.
Yeah,
I don't think it really helps people beat you if they know your weaknesses.
Yeah,
from your own mouth, they can like see it, and that's usually enough. So,
Andy, I think you said a little while ago that Miles kind of attacks the game maybe in certain ways that are different than other American players, and I think you also mentioned how like certain facets of his game make it even easier on you. Can you just kind of like expand more on that? Like, is it his spacing on the court? Is it like just sort of the way that he's able to get to a certain ball that may be different than others? What are the kind of some of the specifics there that you see?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's incredibly athletic and agile. So I think he would disagree with, but I'm going to speak on his behalf.
I'm so time sufficient. I don't think I'm that agile.
But he can cover a lot of space really quickly. So, for example, if I'm passing, like if I'm playing with somebody else, to have like a great option pass, it would have to be in a pretty narrow window for them to be able to option and jump set it. I mean, there's some balls where I just have to get the ball close to the net and Miles is going to be able to get his feet to the ball and hit it. Obviously, if I pass it better, it's going to be easier on him, but he's able to bail me out a decent amount. That just takes a lot of pressure off my side out game. If I can pass generally well, like get the ball up to the net, he's putting so much stress both on the blocker and defender. And if they show anything, even if they're on me, I get to see some of it a bit before. And then defensively, I think his the way he approaches defense and the movement has really helped me be able to hide what I'm doing and be a little more deceptive because they're not sure where he's going to be. So they're a little bit more worried about him. And then I pop up somewhere where they're not expecting. So I think his defense really complemented the movement on his defense really complemented my blocking.
How were you both introduced to the national team?
I did some of the youth stuff, which was great. Like there was some camps in Chula Vista. I love those. I did three of those, I think. And then also,
those were junior, right?
Yeah, the junior camps. I think I qualified for one of the international events, which was cool to have it like all paid for. I got to go. We lost in the qualifier, but it was awesome to go. And that's how I got introduced. And then, they'll support you if you want to go sign up. Like if you're a U.S. citizen, you can go play. So, but the better you do, USA has some support for that. So yeah, but that's how I got introduced to it. First with the youth pipeline, but there's also all the CBVA tournaments in SoCal and EVPs where I got to meet the people at USA, like players, so as well.
Yeah. And for me, I yeah, kind of a similar. I didn't do as much of the junior stuff, but I did mostly just AVPs. And then when I played with Billy Allen in 2021, referred me, I guess, to get in the facility and get be able to meet everyone on the staff and help receive some support with the lifting and stuff. So that was really helpful for my development.
Definitely want to ask you guys about this past season in a little bit, but I would just love to know, throughout kind of any of your international competitions, do you ever take any moment to sort of just pause and look down at the USA on your jerseys and just kind of, was it ever something that you thought about when you were younger? And do you ever reflect on competing, representing your country at all?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely hard during the tournament. I think after the tournament though, especially if you're able to like make a podium or something, it does feel special just to know you're representing all the citizens of the U.S. It's a really cool opportunity to have. And I think we both kind of cherish that. But yeah, it's hard to think about, all right, this is USA playing Brazil. It's like we're just playing these two guys that we also know that live in Brazil. That's how I feel. It doesn't feel like I'm playing all of Brazil. Yeah, it's definitely cool to be able to represent, especially with how many great players there are in the U.S. We're blessed to be able to represent the field.
Yeah.
I'm such a privilege to play for the U.S. I've been on it for, yeah, I'm a very, fond of our country. Yeah, kind of similar to Andy. I don't think about a ton when we're playing, but definitely if looking back, it's more meaningful to kind of represent a bigger ideal. So I think that does add some, I don't know, sacredness to it for sure. But yeah, so I don't think about it a ton, but I think leading up more to the Olympics, it's definitely going to be probably more potent. So, yeah.
Since you two have been a pair, what has been, and have been competing together, can you reflect on maybe one of your more memorable matches that, you know, kind of stood out more than the rest?
Yeah, I mean, I have a couple from this year. I think the most pivotal match of our season was against Estonia in the Ostrava qualifier, the round to get in. They smashed us the first set, and then we kind of smashed them the second set, and we went up pretty big in the third set, and they came back and the blocker just started going off, and I think we were down 14-11 and ended up like coming back and winning that game. And then we ended up meddling in that tournament, which completely changed the outlook of our season. So yeah, there's been a couple of times when I've just like stopped to think like, wow, like, our season could have been, you know, dramatically different if we don't come back from like 14-11 in that match. There is a couple really good battles this year we had that ended up being like really pivotal. But that's the one that stands out most to me.
Yeah, that one is probably the most pivotal. There's also our very first match in Brazil.
Oh yeah.
That was really memorable for me. I really am proud of that match. Even if we lost, it was just a tough battle and we stuck with it till the end. So we played Turkey.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought for sure one of you guys was going to say Stad. I was surprised with those answers, but I love them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Stad was obviously very cool. That atmosphere is really cool. The area is beautiful. But I don't know. There's always like some matches that stick out more. Like the one he's referring to, It was our first match of the season, the qualifier one. And I think we lost the first set like 21-13 in the qualifier for the Challenger. So we ended up pulling it out. But yeah, there's some like moments that I think help shape us, or match that help shape us and make us maybe believe more when the moments get tough, where we can lean back on. So that, yeah, I think that's why they kind of stick out.
Yeah. What are some things you do to kind of, you know, reflect and, you know, break down each match and, you know, just kind of, I guess use to improve and kind of leverage into, you know, the following matches coming up?
Your question is about how we respond to previous matches to help move forward. Well, yeah, if there was problems that were there, I mean, we'll just try everything we can to fix them, but not try too hard if it's a tournament. And yeah, there's a balance of completely forgetting something you did wrong, but also it's information on how to get better. So I don't know, probably a little more on the forgetting side during tournaments, and if it's between tournaments as opposed to during them, that we'd maybe look more closely at like problems. But yeah, I think it's just important to keep team morale genuinely as high as you can. There are a lot of choices to make to basically live or die in a microcosmic way throughout the tournaments. You can give up on yourself or not. So just trying to choose the non-give up choice or the persevere choice as much as possible helps between matches, I guess, and in them. So I think that's one of the biggest things, is looking at, you know, your heart, overall heart, how hard you played, and trying to get the next match similar or better, I guess. That's more important than the technical stuff, but yeah,
I would agree. I think morale is like at the forefront of our mind for like during tournament, and then after the tournament, we'll try to break down some film and kind of look more intricately at what we did well and what we didn't. So,
yeah.
Since we're speaking about some of those international tournaments, sorry, Miles, go ahead.
I was just going to say there's a lot of, it's cool playing sports, especially at the frequency we do. There's a lot of like, I feel like I learn a lot about power of faith and confidence and stuff. It's interesting. You kind of have your perception or imagination or how you view things is like, and super important. It kind of presents itself as a choice a lot of times. But yeah, that's all.
Just talking about some of those tournaments from last year, I feel like it's probably time to sneak in one question about 2023 and the season, and really what some might characterize as a breakthrough year for you guys on the FIVB tour. If you don't like to hear the rankings, cover your ears, because you guys are currently the top ranked U.S. men's pair, for those who don't know, tied for third in the world, I believe, last time I checked, and fourth in provisional rankings with 10 tournaments played. But obviously a great season for you guys. We asked you about the highlight, but what were kind of some of the differences in competition from sort of the start of your season and maybe the end? And did you feel kind of other teams maybe adjusted to some of your style of play at all? Or were you kind of trying to combat that at all towards the end of the season? And how did it evolve from the start to the finish in 2023?
Yeah, I think going into the season, there was a lot of unknowns, especially with like how I would do with the optioning and jump setting, since it was newer for me, and us trying to run that offense while also trying to implement like a defense we both felt comfortable with. So I think early in the season, there was a lot of like trial and error. There's some matches we probably got crushed, beating ourselves a little bit, making errors, but I think it was worth it in the long run. I think, yeah, I mean, obviously the more we play these top teams, the more they're going to learn about us. But also the more we're going to learn about them. So I think there were some emerging patterns with how teams were starting to play us into the end of the year. And that's kind of the fun part where we get to play the chess game and, figure out ways to beat, that tactic. So, we definitely have some things in mind that we're going to work on this offseason just to add some new tools to the belt to get out of situations. But yeah, it was cool. It was really cool seeing so many different like high level defenses and how they would all approach us and what the similarities would be. So well, we get to go back to the drawing board and cook up some more strategy.
Do you have any opponents that are, you know, more fun and or challenging to play that, you know, when you see them come up, you know, in every match or whatever, like it's, I guess, you know, it's exciting or, you know, the rivalry continues or anything like that?
The American teams, I don't know if any of them like playing each other. We all know each other so well. So, yeah, maybe they do. But yeah, it's kind of fun to play the New York teams because you never train with them, the other countries. So I don't know. I think those teams definitely have a different quality. So here we go again.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same story with like slight differences will determine who wins.
Yeah.
Often. So
yeah. We have a couple like favorite players we like playing against. Or not playing against, watching play. Who you're playing against is not the, but there's some entertaining players out there. It's always fun. We've gotten to play Pedro twice. Pedro's fun to play.
Pedro Solberg, Pedro Solian from Brazil.
Yeah, super, dramatic, I guess would be the right word, but he's really entertaining.
I love his mindset. He has a lot of faith when he plays. It's really cool to see.
But yeah, a lot of passion. But yeah, I mean, there's some teams that I think like, we've played a lot this year, that it was funny when we play them again. Arthur from Brazil, we played him again in Sakurama. We were warming up on the course next to each other. He's like looking at me like, oh, we keep drawing each other. So, yeah, him and Brower Musin, Alex Brower is really funny. He's cool to train with. So yeah, there's a lot of guys. We're still getting to know everyone since we got to train with a decent amount of teams this year, but it'd be cool to get to know them more over the next few years.
Mm-hmm. It was really cool watching you guys against all the other American teams like you were talking about at that Norseco playoff a couple months ago. It seemed like everybody kind of brought all of their results from past competitions to take it out on each other at that one. The intensity was definitely ratcheted up.
Yeah, there's a lot of trash talking. I know, I think Jason Wiles got into it with Theo and Trevor. We were playing at the same time, but I heard a little bit about it. Yeah, it's always fun watching U.S. teams play each other because there's nobody wants to play each other, and they definitely don't want to lose to each other. So they should have sold tickets to that one. That was entertaining.
Does it get that kind of competitive even, you know, just we talked about the international play, but also maybe when you guys are on the AVP setting, is it kind of just as competitive when you face teams in that format?
Yeah, I think that was pretty similar to an AVP that Norseco qualifier. I think there's always like some matchups that'll get a little chippier than others, but yeah, it was pretty similar to what it's like on the AVP.
Speaking of, matchups, let's kind of circle back and we'll take a few steps back. Talk about your college careers, actually. I mean, you two went to two rival colleges, right there in Southern California. Miles, you went to UCLA, Andy, you went to USC. Can you guys talk about a little bit about that, that experience playing on the indoor side of things, just experience in college overall?
As far as the rivalry goes, there's not much of a run. It's great for me. I love the concept of it. It's fun. But between the players, I think it depends year to year, and some of the players are more legacy, but there isn't a lot of felt sense of rivalry. But I think the coaches really feel it.
Yeah. They get the pressure from the administration.
Yeah, that's a big game for them. So I think it's cool to have there is some weight on it, but the college stuff was great. I had a great experience. I think Sproul's a great coach. It was unfortunate that I left, but it worked out for the better, I think, for everyone. So I've been to a couple games, or one game this season. I hope to go to some more, because I still have a lot of friends there, but yeah, it was great. I love the camaraderie of the team. Atmosphere of things is really cool. You have to, it's all built in for you when you're in college. So it's good. Yeah.
I had a good experience in college too. I got to play with some great players. I played with Mike at USC for a couple of years. And then, Lucas Yoder, who is my same class. I got to play with some great players. And obviously, I think USC and UCLA both have a lot of legacy within the beach scene, too. So I think that's kind of cool. We get to carry on that legacy.
Yeah.
Not too much of a rivalry between us, at least. I'm not out there repping SC super hard, so the debt makes it hard to rep them. So.
Oh man, you go separate, you want me to go?
You can take it.
Okay. Moving on from that rivalry, let's talk about just a little bit about that transition from indoor to beach. What brought that on? What urged that? What kind of egged that transition on for the both of you?
I was kind of by chance. I played a half a season overseas indoor. And my back was pretty jacked up, and I took a normal job, and my friend was just, he was playing, Colfiers, my high school friend. He was playing some ABP qualifiers, and he just asked me if I wanted to come out and play with him one day, and I got kind of back into it. So I kind of he brought me out to the beach, and we ended up doing okay in a couple of AVPs, and I just kept writing it from there.
For me, I just kept playing indoor beach during the school year and then summers. So there wasn't much of a big transition exclusively. It was always kind of mixed. Now it's kind of exclusively beach, but one thing is that you have to pick your hands as you're growing up. If you want to have beach hands, you can have beach hands, which are slower for setting. If you want to have indoor hands, you can have indoor hands, make it faster. But I wouldn't advise trying to have both.
You got you know
me.
Yeah, you have in between hands.
And I think it's really hard. Once you have one of them, whichever one ends up winning in your brain's choice of how to put the ball where you want it to go, it wins. It was always awkward for me to kind of set an indoor, felt off. Because if I really if my life depended on it and I had to put the ball somewhere, I would definitely beach set. And there's probably gonna, it's so unlikely that you can keep it 50-50. So yeah, choose one. I recommend if you're not a setter, choose beach hands, because they work in indoor. but
yeah, you don't want
indoor hands. It's an indoor hands, there's
bricks.
Yeah, but it's good for setting. I said, like, only in system setting. So they just out of system setting, it's tough. Worse. So yeah, but then everything else translates like the exact same, I'd say. The skills are the same. Blockings, yeah, even blocking. I mean, it's just swing blocking's different than standing, but whatever you figure out, swing blocking probably will work on the beach. Same with passing, serving, hitting. Just setting.
I'd like to know, is it tougher in your mind to come off the beach and set indoor or come out of the indoor gym and set on the beach? Like, is there one transition that's tougher than the other in your mind?
I think coming, the toughest transition is what he said, is coming, becoming an indoor setter and then coming out to the beach. You could be in any other position. You could be an outside, or like I was in middle. I had no problem beach setting, but I've seen so many former indoor setters not be able to like retrain their brain.
You can retrain it.
You can. Yeah. With a lot of reps. So, but I would still say probably the beach setting has got to be a little bit harder just because, a little bit more stringent on how they call the doubles and the lifts.
Yeah.
And maybe not the lifts, but the doubles.
Yeah.
Just going back to the AVP again, too, and Miles, I believe you and your brother in 2017 were the youngest pair, I believe, ever to advance to the main draw of a beach event, of an AVP beach event. What was it like at that age competing against that level of competition?
It was awesome. I'll always remember it. Yeah. It was cool. Yeah. We really got a lot better that summer. A few tournaments before that, we had played, been playing really well. Something just happened where we got a lot better. So, that was cool. That was the first USA national team, like youth qualifier thing. We had just gotten back from that. And I think then played in that qualifier. So we were fresh off of being swimming around in volleyball, watching it though, because we lost in the qualifier, but we still stayed for the whole tournament. So we just watched volleyball the entire time, came back, and then we had that qualifier. So, but it was really cool. We still have some pictures that I'll always remember of my brother and I playing there. So, yeah, and there's some videos too. So it's fun to remember it both ways.
Yeah. Is your path to Supercross competing on that tour?
On AVP?
Yeah.
A little bit. We played each other like twice before playing together on an AVP.
Yeah.
Yeah. So really not that many times.
Yeah.
Only twice.
I think she beat me. Oh, no. Well, that was
three times.
Maybe me in Fort Lauderdale.
Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. Hawaii.
And then Fort Lauderdale. And then, well,
that was 2019.
First one was a qualifier in Hawaii, and then second one was in Chicago. Him and Billy Allen beat me and Paul Allman, and then at Fort Lauderdale.
He played with Nick.
Chicago. Oh, yeah. No, oh, Fort Lauderdale and Atlanta. Yeah. Well, the Fort Lauderdale one was good, though. I was playing with times. I was playing, Denver, too. Don't forget Denver. But I was in Fort Lauderdale. That one was a good one. We had a really intense match. Paul Lobin ripped an ace down the middle, for sure, tagged the line. And Nick just went back and stepped on the ball mark before they should go look at it. And I thought there was going to be like a fight or something. But yeah, I would like to say I won the important one, the Denver one. So now I technically have one more AVP win than Miles. The tour series counts, apparently. So
no, it never happened.
I know we touched a little bit on, you know, what goes into a good partner and, you know, how you both complement each other. But kind of the opposite question to that, you know, you mentioned a little bit of like earlier on a difficult partner. What kind of goes into some of those struggles that partners run into on a regular basis?
It's the same stuff that roommates and brothers, I'm sure. And, I'm not a brother, but
yeah,
brothers and marriages deal with. So I know it's a pretty big world of problems and that could go wrong, I guess. But
yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, like, they're going to be who they are and you're going to be who you are. So you got to figure out how to deal with it. I'm sure I do stuff that pisses Miles off, like sometimes. And so you just got to learn how to like deal with it. I think the biggest one though, for like from a partner's perspective, is just making sure that you know, your partner is showing you dedication, even if they're not playing super well. They're trying to do whatever they can to put your team in the best position to succeed. So as long as that's there, I think like the respect's always there, even if it's like brothers being mad at each other for a little bit or something like that. But luckily, I've not had any of those experiences with Miles, so it's been great.
I would have to think at this point, the Olympics is at some point a little bit, maybe in the recesses in the back of your mind. But just for you guys, what would it mean to qualify for Paris and just thinking about that as much or as little as you do at this point?
Yeah, it's like a big question about doing anything is how much should you think about like what you're going for? Sometimes it's counterproductive. I don't know. I mean, I think about it sometimes, but it would be awesome. It'd be just a dream come true. So we'll do our best to try and achieve it. And yeah, it'd be awesome. So it would mean a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's we still got a little bit of ways to go to be able to qualify. So, right now, still focused like pretty day to day. I'm sure if it happens, that'll be a pretty like surreal moment. But I also think like last year, our goal was just to be able to play against the best teams and play in the best tournaments in the world, and obviously the Olympics is one of those. So it's definitely a goal we have, but we're not putting our like whole self-worth on it either. We're just trying to get better as a team, and then hopefully we're in a position to succeed if that day comes.
What are some of the other goals? I mean, you mentioned, you know, you have clearly put Paris as one of them, but can you elaborate a little bit more on, you know, some of those other goals and aspirations you have going into the season?
Yeah, I think we have like general like technical goals where we want to get better at certain skills and be able to add more stuff and play more creatively. But I think the goal for every tournament is just to be able to win that match that's in front of you. So being able to stay locked in throughout the course of a tournament, whether you take a tough loss and you got to play again in a couple hours, or if you're playing really well, try not to get too high or too cocky. So, that's mostly like what we focus on, is just taking it very moment to moment. And then we don't really have goals in terms of metrics of like, oh, we want to win this many medals or we want to win this many ABPs. But we are, our goal is just to be able to show up and play as well as we can every day.
Well, Miles and Andy, it's been super awesome to have you both on the pod. Thank you for taking some time out of your training schedule to join us. It's been great to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Thanks, Miles.
Thank you.
Where can, really quick, before we officially wrap up, where can people follow you on Instagram, follow the journey as we're in this, 2024, season?
Yeah, I'm Andy Benish on Instagram. That's like the only plug I have.
Yeah, Miles Fartain, just my name. So I think it's both our names. But yeah, we also have a great sponsor, Centerpoint. So you'll see them on our jerseys and stuff. But yeah, we definitely want to plug them because they're just a... super supportive to us and they help make it happen. So, they're a stock or an active trading firm if anyone's interested. So
you want to go into day trading, they got the platform.
And assuming we'll see you guys early March, I think, as I saw the start of the season, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, looking forward to it. Thank you guys again so much. Really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Bye, guys.
Thank you so much to Miles and Andy for chatting with us. That was such a cool conversation. Clarence, one of my favorite things listening to them and kind of getting to talk with them a little bit here and then also a little bit over last year is just hearing about their partnership. I think we ask a lot of athletes in this space a lot of times, you know, what makes for a good partnership? And we try to look for the inner workings and the inner dynamics between good teams. And theirs is so fascinating to me. I don't know about you, but I just think it's such a cool pairing and listening to them talk about their strengths and each other's strengths and how they play off each other was so fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I mean, you kind of took half of what I was going to say in regards to that, too. But I mean, just everything about them, it's yes, it blends and molds and meshes together so beautifully. And even, you know, how they talk about their partnership, how they became to be partners and their introductions to the national team at that, too. There's also a level of just great strategic thing behind it, whether they, you know, were intending to do that or not. I mean, you just see how it all played out full circle. You can tell that, you know, of course, they're spending a lot of time together, learning each other's strengths, learning each other's weaknesses, and, you know, playing to those and playing off of those and continuously getting better as a pair. So I know I for sure cannot wait to see what they do for this 2024 season, especially leading off of this conversation that we were able to have with them too. But just great, just two very, very insightful gentlemen. And I'm just very thankful that we had a chance to, you know, sit down and talk to them as well.
Yeah. And I think it's always fascinating to me, like, is somebody thinking about partnering with someone when they're with somebody else? And how early does that come? And especially with, you know, if it's your Andy's perspective and you're looking at Miles and how young he is relatively and already knowing, like, kind of when you first see him. I think we had that he was first on the AVP circuit at like 15, which is super young. Uh-huh. And it's like, how do you already know, okay, that guy is going to be good? And I think if you go out to the beach and you watch Miles, I think you look pretty quickly and you're like, oh, okay, like I can see it. But still, just from a 40,000 foot view or whatever, the ability as one athlete to look at the other and say, that's a guy I know I want to partner with.
Yeah.
I mean, they might be just as good scouts as they are on the sand for sure.
I know. I mean, you're anticipating the chemistry, you're anticipating, you know, even some of the slight pain points that are talked about too. You're anticipating the mental strength and collaboration just off of, like you said, being that 40,000 foot viewer. It's just insane, but it's crazy how successful they've been and how much it's worked out in their favor. So I 100% agree with you there as well. But enough about that. I mean, you guys have got that earful on the interview. I'm sure you guys have a lot of favorite points that you were able to pull from that interview as well, too. But again, thank you. Thank you so much to Andy and Miles for taking the time to join our show. It was very insightful. Whenever you guys are ready to join us again, hopefully midway through your season, so we get some updates there as we go along. We would love to have you. You know, thank you guys for being friends of the pod. I think now, though, however, it is time to kick it back over to you, Severin, for some upcoming events on the junior side. Am I correct?
Yeah, I think I got six of them, if my math is correct, which is always a dangerous assumption. So strap in for that. So here we go. We've got Southeast Girls 18's National Qualifiers. That is February 23rd through 25th in Atlanta. Following that is the Women's National Team Open Program, February 23rd to February 25th, also in Olympic City. So not following that, it's kind of the same time. But in Colorado Springs for this one, you can actually stream that one on Baller TV. So be sure to check that out. Local and zonal combo camp for officials. That's Gulf Shores, February 23rd through 24th. Also, obviously, in Gulf Shores. And then boys indoor national team, NTDP, sorry, spring training series, March 1st through 3rd in Colorado Springs. Then there's 2 weekends of the Boston Volleyball Festival. So we're throwing it back to the East Coast, my home area. Weekend one, U.S. men's sitting national team will face Canada in 5 friendly matches. That's going to be awesome. So check them out. On weekend two, it's going to be girls 18's national qualifier on March 1st through 3rd. And you can watch the 2-time defending Paralympic gold medalist women's sitting national team face off against Germany. So lots of great stuff happening that weekend. Again, March 1st through 3rd there. And then finally on my list, the 2024 Sunshine Classic girls national qualifier weekend one. That's 11s through 12s and 16s through 17s, March 2nd through 4th in Orlando. More details and all upcoming events can be found at usavolleyball.org. Be sure to head over there to check it out for more information.
Okay, quick little fact check on Sunshine right now. We were able to, when I say we, I mean Molly Crockett, the event manager who oversees Sunshine. We were able to squeeze in 765 teams over this one weekend. It's going to be our busier weekend over the 2 weekend event, and it's going to be like we like to say, Volleypalooza, and like I like to say on that other side of things, a very stressful palooza. But it's going to be a lot of good volleyball being played, and I cannot wait to be a part of that weekend one of Sunshine Classic. Hope to see you guys there with some playing some good volleyball. Total side note: do you guys know who's traveling to Sunshine either weekend one or weekend two?
It's going to be me. So you're going to see me there. Right. I will be there for at least one of them. I got to check my calendar for which one it is. But that first one in March, I think. So, yeah, the first weekend, I think.
There. All right. Strap up's going to be a crazy event. But
oh, well, now you said 700 teams. I'm like, oh, my gosh, here we go. I got to be running around to everybody.
Oh, yeah. So weekend one will be 765. And then the 13th through 15th weekend, which is weekend number two, will be 650 teams. So not quite the 765 mark, but hey. A lot of teams there too. So
600 is still a lot. So yeah, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I know I've totally derailed the conversation. So let's swing it back over to the pro side of things. Norseca playoff one, Manhattan Beach is happening February 22nd in, you guessed it, Manhattan Beach, California. As just mentioned, the 2024 men's sitting friendlies versus Canada is being held in Boston over on the East Coast from February 23rd through the 5th. The 2024 women's sitting friendlies versus Germany is also happening in Boston on March 1st through the 3rd. And you guessed it, the FIVB Beach Pro Tour is back starting on March 5th through the 9th. We've got our athletes competing in the Beach Pro Tour Elite 16 Doha. And guess what? You guessed it again, Doha, Qatar. Beach Beach Pro Tour features Mount Mangui in New Zealand happening March 5th through the 9th. You know, it's crazy. Total side note. It's so funny, the correlation between junior event names versus international event names. It's just, you can kind of tell which one is which just based off of what the name is, but going to talk about that on a later episode. That being said, good luck to all those athletes competing, and definitely wish you the safest of travels. Make sure you tune in weekly to usavolleyball.org for men's and women's national team updates from their pro leagues as well.
Awesome. Thank you, Clarence. And as we're coming to the end, listeners, of course, remember you can rate and review, share with your friends, family, and teammates. It really helps this podcast grow and reach new listeners. And check out, obviously, our video episodes on our website and on YouTube. We thank you, of course, for your continued support. We really do appreciate it. And if you know a club that should be featured or a story that you'd like us to share, you can email us at the USA Volleyball Show at the USAVolleyball.org. So I just completely messed that up. So let me say that again. The USA Volleyball Show, all lowercase, all one word, at USAV.org. And you can leave us feedback and let us know about any future topics that you want to hear about. And of course, with this show, new episodes drop every other week. And until then, thank you for listening to the USA Volleyball Show, the official podcast of USA Volleyball.
This has been the USA Volleyball Show with Clarence Hughes and Stephen Munson. Produced by Curtis Ward. Our content producer is Laura Fawcett. Our marketing lead is Bree Jaycox. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to rate and review. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the USA Volleyball Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.